and welcome to a Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and my pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome to anyone who's found us for the first time. It's no accident that you are here today, friend, so please don't run off quite yet. Please stick around and let's see what the Lord has for us today. And welcome back to all you regular listeners. Thank you for coming back day after day. I am so thankful for you. You know, this is episode 842. It's number 112 for the year. But I'm just so thankful that God would allow me to just share the goodness that's in His Word and to encourage others to know Him through His Word. We must abide in His Word. We talk about this frequently, but we see that one of the evidences that we love Him is that we want to know Him and His Word. If we look in, I believe it's John chapter 14, verse 23, I'm going to hop over there real fast. It says, Jesus had told them, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him." That dwelling with us is how He abides in us and we abide in Him. And may we be keepers of the Word. Friends, we can't be keepers of the Word if we don't know the Word, if we're not spending time in the Word, if we're not just having it ever before us. And so I'm saying that as much to myself as to you. I truly want to know more of Him through His Word, and I pray that'll be the same for you. And I'm just thankful that you'd want to take this little bit of time to think about His Word with me. Please consider sharing this podcast with your friends, family, neighbors, strangers, just anyone who you think may receive a blessing from it. Know that I pray for you daily, even though I don't know who all of you are. You know, there are many of you from around this country and from around the world that log in each day and download, and I'm just thankful for that, and I pray God will bless you, draw you closer to Him, and give you more of a desire to know Him. And please know that I love to hear from you, so if you feel so led, send me a message sometime and let me know what the Lord's doing in your life as you're spending more time with Him. Well, our verse for the day for April the 21st, 2024, comes back from that letter of 1 John. This is like, let's see, this is our fourth time in 1 John this month, but oh gracious, there is so much in that fourth chapter of 1 John. Of course, you know I love all the words and all the verses, but I'm excited for us to be here today. It's 1 John chapter 4, verse 21, and it reads as follows from the Legacy Standard Bible. "And this commandment we have from Him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also." Oh, friends, that seems simple on the surface, but there is so much here. And so I'm excited for us to park here and see what we can learn. We've talked a lot about the love of God in this chapter of 1 John because it's just cornerstone. It's so important. It's because God is love. And there is so much practical advice in this letter of 1 John. John wanted the people to know that they could know God, that they could know and that they had that assurance of eternal life through Jesus. And he just tries to continue to encourage and exhort and just hammer this point home throughout his letters and his writings. And I'm so thankful. Now, if you're new to the podcast, this time in the podcast is where I like to think about where we are in the scripture, what book or letter we're in, who may have written it, what was going on, and get the context so we can understand the big picture and see how the Lord might apply it to our lives. And so we are in this letter of 1 John. We know based on historical records that the gospel writer, the apostle John, wrote this. There's nowhere within it where he says, "I, John, wrote this," but both by his writing style of this letter and his gospel in the book of Revelation and those earliest church historians who would have received these letters and who would have received the gospel that he wrote, they confirm that these were penned by him. He talks about being the one, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And as I've told you before, I don't think that's because he was thinking more highly of himself than he ought. I think he just understood the weight, or started to understand the weight of the love of Christ, that he would love us sinners so much that he would come to this earth, that he would leave glory, that he would come to this earth and take our penalty that we deserved for our sins against a holy God, that he would take that on himself, lay down his life, offer himself, die for us. And then just the wonderful news that he was resurrected on that third day, and he ascended back to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God, and he's coming again. I think John realized the weight of that, and he so wanted others to know that. He so wanted everyone else to know that they could too. They could also, if they would only believe, have this eternal life, and that there's evidence in our lives once we have become believers of that work of God in our lives. And he talks much about that. You know, he wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And God used him mightily through the power of his Holy Spirit to write these words. His writing style is different than the others. And I'm so thankful that God used different men to pen different things in the scriptures. You know, there's just different personalities that you could see, different writing styles. Each of the things that were written seem to have intended audiences that were different each time. But when we take it as a whole, we can see and we believe, because the scripture says it, that all of this was breathed out by God, and all scripture is profitable for teaching, correction, reproof, and training in righteousness. We know that men didn't write these of their own accord. They wrote because they were inspired. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit to write these things. And I'm so thankful. John, the writer of this, was one of those original apostles. It's thought that he was the youngest of the 12 apostles and the longest surviving of the apostles. And he was one, since he was an apostle called by the Lord Jesus, he saw the things of Jesus in person. He was an eyewitness account to the miracles. He was an eyewitness account to how Jesus dealt with people in person and in large groups. He saw many of the miracles. He saw Jesus be transfigured. He saw him in his glory. He saw the crucifixion. He saw Jesus die and be placed in that tomb. He saw him after he was resurrected, and he saw him ascend back to heaven. And I told you this just a few days ago, when the Lord Jesus was on the cross and Mary, his mother, was at the foot of the cross along with this John, the Lord Jesus looked at Mary and said, "Here's your son," and at John and said, "Here's your mother." And John took Mary home from that day forward and took care of her. And Jesus had entrusted the care of his earthly mother with this man. And it's just, I think we shouldn't overlook that, that he was an eyewitness, and God has graciously allowed us to have these words written by him. He wanted people to know and to believe. And in 1 John 5:13, he says, "These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." And it's just such an encouragement. You can know that you have eternal life. You can know that you are saved. You can have that confidence. Now, the world will tell you that you can't. False gospels will tell you that you can't, that you have to work hard to get to heaven, that you, when we get to heaven, if your good deeds outweigh the number of bad deeds, that the scale will tip over and they'll let you in. No, friends, it's not based on works. It is based on grace and faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. You can't do this weights and balances thing. It is all based on faith. And John shows that throughout. He shows it in his gospel in a completely different writing style than the other three gospel writers. He shows it in these letters that he was sending to encourage in this very grandfatherly tone, this very straightforward and loving tone. He shows it in that book of Revelation, where God had told him to write these things down. And so I'm just so thankful that we get to spend time here. Now, as I mentioned, this is our fourth day in this for this month. And so we've talked about a lot of these things over and over again. But John talks so much about loving one another because it was so important. It was critical. We read in Matthew chapter 22 when one of the scholars of the law asked the Lord Jesus a question to test him. They were always trying to, it seems, catch him up and so that they could find fault with him. And he said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." It is always the thing that he desires and requires of us above all. And this went all the way back to the law, but it is an overriding theme, is that we love God first with everything that we have. And we do that because he deserves it. Number one, he is holy. He is righteous. He is our creator. He's our deliverer. He is our protector and our provider. He has given us all things that we need. And through his son Jesus, he's made a way for us to come back to him. And so John talks about in this letter, he says, this commandment I give you is a new commandment, but it's not really new. It's the same as from the beginning. We love God. And if we love God, we love his son, because God sent his son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John records in his gospel, Jesus's words that he was sent by the Father. He was doing exactly what the Father willed when he came to this earth. And so we love God for what he's done. We love that God the Father. We love God the Son, that he was willing to do what he did. We love God the Spirit because he has given that Spirit to us. That Spirit guides us and directs us in all these things. And so there's just this theme throughout this letter of helping us to know how we can know that we are of him. And I love what it says in 1 John 3. It says, see how great a love the Father has given to us, that we would be called children of God. And we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been manifested as yet what we will be. We know that when he is manifested, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. I love that. And John tells us, and we talked about this a few days ago, that if we love one another, that's how we know that God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And then even the other day when we did this podcast verse where it says, by this abiding in him, just staying, dwelling in him, remaining with him, keeping our hearts and minds focused on him. By this, love has been perfected. It's being completed in us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. We don't have to fear if we are in him. And that goes all the way back to 1 John 1:9, when John was reminding them, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so if we have been cleansed, if we have that righteousness of Christ on us, that's what covers us, then we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear that day of judgment. And so that picks up here in verse 18, leading up to our verse for the day. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, that perfect love that comes from God, casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. It's so important. And some may say, well, that's not what that what Jesus said about the original commandment, about the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And John saying you shall love your brother also. Well, let's look at what that word neighbor means. It means near one. It's someone who is near. So that is anyone who is walking beside you. It's not just someone who lives next to you in the house next door or in your cubicle next to you at work. It is the ones who are near you. So who is more near to you than those who were in your earthly family growing up, your brothers, your family? Those are near to you. But then also, the bigger, that's your close circle, and then your bigger circle of everyone you come in contact with. Jesus gave that example when he talked about the Good Samaritan. The Jews were not fans of Samaritans. They didn't think that they had any place with God. And Jesus gave this parable about a Samaritan who cared for one that he was near, one who had been beat on the side of the way, and the priest and the religious leaders, those who should have loved their neighbor, who should have loved others, did not. They walked on the other side of the road. But this Samaritan, who they thought was so unclean and so unworthy, did care for that one that he walked near. And that's what Jesus did for us. All of us sinners who had done so much to put him on the cross, who had been so irreverent, who have not feared his name as we should, who have at times until we came to know him, been enemies of him, who have not appreciated that he has given us everything, that he's provided our life and our breath and everything that we have. He came and died. He came near to us. He became our neighbor. He came and walked on this earth and took the penalty that we owed, even though we didn't deserve it, but while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. And so Jesus gave that ultimate example. We are not being asked to do anything that he didn't do already. And so John has very clearly laid that out in the verses prior to this. And he's saying, you can't say that you love God and then not love the ones who are around you. You can't say that you love God and not care and love for your neighbors and those who are in your family, and even those strangers you don't know. And if we back up to 1 John 4, verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Talked about that just a few minutes ago. That propitiation, though, is a big word that means he was the appeasement. He paid the price for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And he's just reiterating that in our verse for the day. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Now, let me just say right here, we've heard a lot about this. You hear a lot about this in the media and in the world today. There are those who will try to twist what it means to love God and to love one another. And they will say that love is love, and we love by affirming. We love by letting people do their own thing. We love, friends, in truth. And it is not loving for us to affirm things or to encourage people to do things that are against the God of this universe. That is not loving, because what is the end point there? If we love, and you can't see my air quotes, if we love them right into hell by encouraging them to continue in their life of sin, that is separating them from a holy God. So we love not only in word, but we love in truth. And so we speak the truth in love. We encourage people in love. We are servants. We have that sacrificial love. We want to help people and point people to Jesus, point people to God the Father, because he is love. But we do not love them by encouraging them to continue in sin, because that separates them from the love of a holy God. That's how the devil works. You can see him kind of take this and say, oh, see, you Christians say that you love, but then you tell us that what we're doing is sin. That's not love. That's hate. That's the devil twisting the word of God, okay? And we don't want to do that. People will say, oh, God's word says you shouldn't judge. You are not loving me because you are judging me. We don't judge by saying you're going to hell, because that is not up to us. That is up to God. God is the judge. But we could say, from what we know of God's word, if you continue in this way that is completely against him, you may go to hell. So turn back. Turn away from that death for eternity. Turn to life. Turn to truth. And so be encouraged, friends. And may we love fiercely like God has loved us. He loves us so much that he shows us through his word and his Holy Spirit where we have sinned, so that we can confess, so that we can return to him, so that we can be made right with him. That is the most loving thing. And so may we love God, and may we love our brothers, may we love our sisters, may we love our neighbors, all those who are near us, for his glory. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.